Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So there's a lot of talk these days about mindfulness, and in the old days when Buddhism started off many years ago in the West, I encountered it then. There's a lot of talk about meditation. There still is, I guess. Meditation became the thing that everybody associated with Buddhism, and this can still be like that. It's a lot of circles. People tend to look to the meditation to be the thing that solves all the problems, which is actually quite a narrow view of Buddhism. Buddhism is more than just meditation. There's the Eightfold Path, which covers all of our lives. The practice is much more one of Sila, Samadhi, Panya in the Pali, which is virtue first, virtue and generosity first, and then the practice of samadhi, concentration, meditation, and then wisdom arising out of this, usually in this order. And the Western mind tends to go more for the wisdom aspect. I think that they can skip the first two, which doesn't work very well. It can be good to get people interested to talk about the higher dhammas, then often people will then need to make the commitment to clean up their act and to clarify their minds, clear their mind in this way, in order for their minds to go deeper into things. And nowadays people talk a lot about mindfulness, and mindfulness in Buddhist circles is becoming the key word. And certainly mindfulness is a broader quality than meditation in terms of describing the practice of Buddhism, but it still doesn't encapsulate the whole thing. It's an essential element of it. So the teachers will say that if there's no mindfulness, there's no, at that moment, there's no cultivation of the mind, there's no practice if there's no mindfulness present. And if we just latch on to this particular aspect of mind being there in the present moment, we can latch on to that as well as being a cure-all. Think, oh well, as long as I'm in the present, as long as I'm present, then everything's all right. The first thing that we need to add to this, first obvious thing from the teaching as a whole, is for the mind to be calm and in the present moment. So this is already quite a big step. Buddhism would say that even if the mind is in the present moment, if the mind is not calm or peaceful in some way, or calm inside, an element of stillness in that mind, then we're lost. Even though we're in the present moment, we can still be lost. Mindful and peaceful is a broader definition. Mindfulness and wisdom together are the Buddha's cure for suffering. Cure for suffering and a complete cure. If one really has breakthrough in this level, then there is no suffering in the mind for a short period or a longer one. Suffering inside, there may be some suffering in relation to things of the world or apparent suffering. But inside there'll be no suffering. Light and bright inside. this is a gradual process of development of wisdom, a gradual process of coming into the present, mind being calm, and then in this state, then the mind starts to see things in a different way. And gradually, we change our perspective, our values, the whole way that we see things and look at things. I see with different eyes, and then seeing is believing. This is the way we come out with Buddhist faith or belief. Seeing is believing. So not a case of believing is seeing. It's the wrong way around. It doesn't work like that. Seeing is believing is a Gnostic way. It's Gnostic with a G, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic. So Buddhism has a lot in common then with other Gnostic religions, which are paths of inquiry. There's a branch of all religions, pretty much, a Gnostic branch. These can be very interesting. It'll be very interesting to talk to Gnostic Sufis or Gnostic Christians or Buddhists. We have natural Gnostics. We learn to see for ourselves. The wisdom that we find is for ourselves. We see it for ourselves. So nobody can give it to us. We have to see it for ourselves. So although somebody can go on and on about it, then we might help us to look in the right place, or we can compare their experience to our own. We still have to walk our own path in order to find the same truth inside, or to develop the same pair of eyes. And ultimately, this is all we need to do. All suffering comes from wrong seeing something in the wrong way. So if we see something in the right way, then suffering doesn't arise. It can become a completely natural state. So in terms of broadening our practice of mindfulness, then I would suggest that the first way in which we broaden this or improve this is that we look at how we do this, the knack of coming into the present. And essentially, the skillful way of doing this is to relax into the present. So if you want a simple method or motto, to find the knack somehow relaxing into the present, and this may be different for everyone. If different people have different ways of doing this, like some people will just listen to whatever's going on as a way of just relaxing into the present. So a moment of kind of passivity, awareness, open awareness, watching, listening. But it's not that this is required. We don't have to be passive to be mindful. We don't have to stop what we're doing and then think, okay, now I'm going to be mindful. We can be mindful with what we're doing, whatever it is, if it's skillful. We'll find out how, if we're engaged in something that's not skillful, how difficult it is to remain mindful. So we think, well, if you can't maintain my mindfulness, my mind won't stay in the present moment in this situation, or should I be doing this as a practitioner? So these kinds of things are often very powerful sense pleasures that tend to take us right out of the present moment, either while we're engaged in them or afterwards. We can't forget. Our minds can't let go of that perfect moment. You just keep wanting it again, wanting that moment, that sensual moment to come back again. I crave for years for some of the pleasure that just lasted a few moments. If we can't recapture it, realise as meditators, gosh, I had a pleasurable moment or time that lasted maybe a few minutes, and I end up craving that for years and years. Can't revisit it. You know, the pleasures of the spiritual life are not like that. They're the opposite kind. The feeling of it is of a different kind too. The sensual feeling is one of a kind of a fondling feeling. There's a kind of closing, grasping, fondling sensation. Sensual world is one of the mind closes down onto a feeling and holds onto it tightly, but then so much of the delight of the feeling is this grasping, holding, craving, actually right there within that feeling, already the craving in there. So sense pleasures, of course, can be very pleasant, but the Buddha says it's like drinking wine. It's like drinking wine that's poisoned. There's a pleasant taste and momentary enjoyment, but then what comes later, the poison inside, is the craving. So as we don't realise this, we engage in something quite innocently, and then later on we realise that our minds can't settle. It wants to keep going back to the memories of these kinds of experiences and leave a huge mark on our minds. They affect our mindfulness. So over years we can start to appreciate the quality of mindfulness in itself, of being present and clear. Then we're not really interested in these experiences anymore. We're not pursuing these anymore. Not like that. If pleasant things come our way, then there's a capacity to enjoy them, but a little bit in a kind of different way, a way of kind of opening to things, receiving, welcoming, opening to things, opening to experience, rather than grasping at it or delighting in it, delighting in the sensual aspect. More in a way of opening to. So a calm mind is an open mind, a peaceful mind is an open mind. So I offer that for your reflection.